Wendy, could you do the opening? I'm too distraught.
Oh.
Too sad.
Welcome to another week. Summer is coming. Baseball has started. The White Sox won a game. I'm Wendy Snyder. That's Bill Leff. And why are you despondent today?
During the changing of the guard, Dave Ennett from Steve Cochran
Show.
He's sports director at WGN. Dave Ennett is a friend of mine. He told me the sad news that a restaurant that he and I frequented, Lucky Fish in Highwood, is no longer. Very, very sad news.
What happened there? You and I've eaten there together.
We have.
There's your answer.
Wow.
Welcome to the work week. Did you miss me?
Steve, I don't know what happened. All I know is they serve delicious fish at a fair price, and those days are over.
Both locations?
Yes. Yes. The one in Northbrook went down a couple months ago, and now the one in Highwood, we have just learned, is also gone.
So not so lucky fish.
Unlucky fish.
That's too bad.
Very, very sad news. We were going to eat there Saturday. My wife and I were in the area. Well, they were already closed, so they probably would not have served us. But we were in the area, and she said, what do you think? And I go, let's go. We went to Tamale's, or my friend Jeff's place, who you've met. And I said, we'll go to Lucky Fish in a week or two. But now that day will never come, Wendy. Very sad.
Maybe they're combining their two and moving elsewhere.
Well, they sell hot dogs and bagels, too, right, that company?
They have a restaurant right in front called Mean Wiener. And that remains open as of this writing. As we speak, as you and I speak, Steve.
Sure, the lucky fish dies, but the mean wiener lives.
Isn't that what a story that is?
It's the story of life. Not surprised at all.
I'll be okay. It's just a shock to the system. That's all. But it'll be okay.
I hope so.
I hope so, too.
I have happy restaurant news.
What is your happy restaurant news?
I know it's on Thatcher, and it could be River Forest. It could be somewhere else. But there's Russell's Barbecue very close to Kitty Land. Mm-hmm. The late, great Kitty Land. Mm-hmm. Russell's Barbecue is opening a new place in Countryside, not far from our house.
All right. I'm back. Everything's happy then.
That just brings me back to being a kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'd always go there, and then if we went there first and went to Kitty Land, I would always throw up on the Tilt-A-Whirl. Boy, I had a terrible upbringing, didn't I?
Yeah.
But great memories.
Good memories, but your stories always end in either illness or death. But that happens. All right, here's a quick question. Have you been following the Joe Biden story at all during the weekend? What do you make of that exactly?
I think it's a whole lot of nothing. I really do.
We've got a woman who says that he, Joe Biden, was inappropriate with his physicality toward her. And then what this has triggered is other people either defending him or the opposite. And there's a photograph that was out a couple years ago where he was consoling a woman, he had his hands on her arms, and she's saying that's just the way Joe Biden is.
And I believe that.
He's a bit on the touchy-feely side.
Kissing someone's the top of their head is not coming on to them, in my opinion. It's more like a fatherly or grandfatherly, like, I'm proud of you, whatever it is. I would not.
That's what happened to me from him.
I didn't think anything of it.
So in your situation, what was the means of your situation? What took place?
I hadn't seen the person in a while. Hey, how's it going? And it was kind of weird because it's like I don't really kiss this person, but they kissed my head and I just went, all right, happy to see me, I guess.
They kissed your head from behind? Were they behind you?
No.
Just in front?
The top of my head. So grabbed my head.
And kissed the top of your
head? Yes.
What did you say to that?
Hi, good to see you. I mean, it made me think, but,
I'm so extra careful in these situations, and I always have been. I mean, nothing has happened to change me.
But you're not warm and fuzzy like that where you would have kissed anyone else's head but your family members. I know you.
Right.
And then only half your family members.
Right. Right. There's a list that's been submitted that my family circulates on who will and will not get a kiss.
Yeah, I'm more touchy-feely. That being the half-Italian, we're all huggy-lovey-dovey.
But Joe Biden comes across as that guy, the guy who is very physical, not overtly physical, just, you know,
warm and welcoming.
Right? Yeah.
I think it's a whole lot.
Is this a smear tactic? Is this what this is?
No, I think it's the Me Too thing where nothing is acceptable. I'm not saying it's right. But, I mean, that's not anything that would offend me. Somebody sticking their hand somewhere where it shouldn't be, that would offend me.
Yeah.
This is just like a parental, hey, you do well.
Right. Is this enough to sink his ship?
No.
If he's still not officially a candidate for
presidency.
Look who's
in the office right now. Are we sinking ships?
See, that's what I was heading toward that, which is if they're going to criticize, if the right is going to criticize on this, then you go, well, can you? Are you allowed to with all that's going on?
This is a whole lot of nothing, in my opinion. Now, maybe so if I talked to her, it would be a different story, but I mean, come on.
This is Lucy Flores, by the way, that we're referring to.
And this happened when?
Former Democratic nominee. 2014.
And it's has it bothered her? She said
yeah,
she had bothered her.
Yeah.
I don't think it bothered
yeah.
her. I can't speak for someone else, though. I'm sorry. In my personal opinion, I think this is a lot to do about nothing.
The timing is strange, as he is, we all believe, about to announce his candidacy for president. So, that in my opinion, that's the timing on this. Is, oh yeah? Well, I got a little surprise for you. But it's just, it's a very strange story. He always has seemed to be somebody who was very... I want to say overly physical, but that automatically makes it sound like it's too much. You know what I mean? He's just physical.
I don't know if that's the right word, though.
I was just on the phone, so I couldn't respond earlier, though. I just want to say a thing. There's two standards for the parties where you said Donald Trump survived it,
right.
Joe Biden might not. There are two standards. I mean, remember... the Minnesota senator, Al Franken, was chased
right.
from the Senate
right.
because the Democrats are much more sensitive to this issue, so they cannot afford to sort of keep offenders in their fold.
That was a different situation.
Totally different, but I'm just saying there are different standards.
Is this enough to keep him from running for president, Steve?
Oh, I wouldn't think so.
I don't think so
either.
If
he wants to run, he's going to run, but
yeah,
he's got a lot of things that... It's a different party now.
Yeah, right. Oh, would you say overly cautious or just the right amount of cautious?
Well, I think it's for many people, it's too soon, too quickly a death penalty. Sure.
Yeah. All right. Let's do this. We'll take a break. We have a lot on the show.
Do you watch any baseball, Mr. Spring Fever?
Yeah, I watched what some in my family would say was too much baseball.
There's no such thing.
I saw most of all six games, three of the White Sox games, three of the Cubs games, and, you know, it's okay. Both teams are 1-2. You'd hope for a little better start, but that's all right.
Yeah, I watched the Sox game. It was good. I loved it. I don't like that royal blue on the, I mean, the powder blue on the Royals. They shouldn't have that baby
mm-hmm.
blue.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't look good.
Too soft of a color.
Yeah,
Major
just
League Baseball.
Looked like they were in their jammies.
You know, because of the way my mind works during a baseball game, I'm watching baseball, but I'm thinking other things. And I like that the Cubs had a guy whose last name is Bodie. That's David Bodie. And the Rangers had a guy whose last name is Odor. So when these guys are standing next to each other, you have Bodie Odor or body odor.
Oh, I'm like, where are you going with this?
Yeah.
Wow. I thought you watched the baseball game for the love of baseball.
No, I just look for funny names.
Good place.
The game is fine. How often do you think this guy Odor got teased as a kid? It's spelled O-D-O-R. It's spelled like odor, but it's pronounced Odor.
Well, where's he from? It's probably like, I mean, Smith there, so.
From a country called Sweataland, which I've never heard of until
Wait,
this weekend.
Does Smith mean body odor here?
Yeah.
No, but yeah. It's just, you know, Smith's a very common name. Maybe Odor is very common from where he's from, so. No one thought about it, no one's you.
I'll tell you what, his whole life changed when he got a whiff of the major leagues.
Right. Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
I'll go vote, will you?
Wow. Wow. There was a big controversy over the weekend over on Huffington Post over whether or not kids should get paid for doing chores. You get an allowance. A lot of kids get an allowance. I don't know. Do you give your boys an allowance?
They don't do anything.
Do they do anything?
No, we don't. And you know what? I've been a bad parent that way. I had to do chores every Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the crappy ones because once my brother moved out, I had to clean the toilets and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really? Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Although that's when I became more handy because I would do things. Right. It was just my mom, sister, and I. Mm-hmm. And I'm a bad parent. They help take the garbage out, but there's no like weekly set chore. And I give them not a weekly allowance, but until they have a job, which I have one working, one not.
Yeah.
If they're going out, I'll give them money.
You will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Regardless, how else are they going to get money?
Right there. Yeah. Right.
I mean,
it comes down to that.
Yeah.
I don't remember the girls, my daughters, ever getting an allowance. And by way of chores, one of my daughters just likes to do stuff around the house. She just, it's the strangest thing.
Can I borrow her?
She just loves tidying up. It's a miracle. Because I don't have any of that gene in me at all.
I don't really either.
I like things to be clean.
But you don't like to do it.
I hate doing it.
I do too.
But she just kind of enjoys it. But I don't remember ever physically setting up an allowance based on chores. Now, when I was a kid, I got, this is a precursor to my $20 a day now, I got 25 cents a week. I didn't know that kids got more than that. Like, when I was a kid, I got 25 cents a week allowance.
I got $5 a week.
$5.
Although, did you do chores? Because I can't see you doing chores.
No, here's
I feel like
miracle.
A bad parent, but the more and more I hear about your mom, I feel like
she didn't make us do too much. Well, I'm not good at anything, so like once you establish good at anything, like they don't press you to do it. They just go, well,
you can't take
make
the garbage
it worse.
Out?
No, I would do stuff like that. I could do stuff like that. But as a little kid, like as a 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 5-year-old, I was making 25 cents a week and living like a king.
Okay, my kids did not get 25 cents a week when they were 3.
I thought it was the best money.
It was for 3.
And my parents used to say, don't talk to other kids about the allowance because they may not get as much as you. Very smart move. You don't want to hurt their feelings. If Scott's getting a dime a week and you're making a quarter, he's going to feel bad. So don't talk to him about allowance. And I go, yeah, that makes sense.
I didn't give my kids an allowance. I mean, any money. Usually, I guess junior high, maybe for sure high school. Hey, yeah. I'm going to go hang with friends. And I'll go, here's a 20.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we did the same thing, Wendy.
Yeah, did your kids have chores?
Kids? Yeah, well, we didn't really call them chores. Chores is such a harsh word, isn't it, when you think about
chores? Chores what Timmy and Lassie always
it's
had
like,
to
do. Yeah, it's like you're on a farm or something.
I had to do that, though. There was a list of who had to do what, and I had to do
we
that.
We just called them jobs. We just said, you got to do your job. You know, mm-hmm. We all knew what our jobs were when I was growing up. And if
every child in the family, Mary, had a separate set of jobs?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had to dust every Saturday morning. I had to dust.
Oh, I had to do that, too.
And my brother got to watch cartoons and just made me really mad.
That was his job.
Yeah, that was his job. And my
is he hiring?
It's just terrible.
I'd like to work for your brother.
I know. It was terrible. But my kids, no. They were just expected to do them. If I told them to do something, it's like,
that was it.
And that's it, Mary? If we ask them to do something, they'll do it.
They should do it. And if they need money to go out, then we gave them money.
Yeah.
You know,
for a while at my house, my mom had this thing called the Star Card. So on the Star Card was 3 or 4 or 5 things that was expected of me. And if I did them, I got that stamp with a star on it. But if I didn't, my mom would take a black crayon and I would get a black star. And I mean, when you think about it, you go, so what? But I was afraid she would show that to people. Like if people, like if
always
we have
worried
company,
about what someone else thinks, but not your family.
I was afraid that, you know, if we had guests, my mom would go, Bill, why don't you pull out the Star Card? I want to show them, you know, how you've been performing lately.
And was she a teacher?
No.
Oh.
Gotta be, well, dance teacher.
A dance teacher. But
gotta be honest, a star's a star. It doesn't matter what color it is.
Tell that to a 4-year-old version of me, because all I saw was a Star Card with some black stars on it, and that's not going to look good.
May I ask what some of the jobs were?
Yeah, one of them was to
be
make
nice
sure,
to your brother.
Actually, that was on there. That one was on there. Mostly red stars in that column, a couple of black stars. One of my jobs, and I don't know how they determined that I was the one best suited for this in the family, but I had to make sure that all the shoes were put away, everyone's shoes were put away, and that all closet doors were closed. That was in the same, like now I go, that should have been 2 separate jobs. That's 2 different categories. But at the time, that was in the same column.
That was a big thing in my house, to close the closet doors.
Yeah.
Close the closet doors.
Yep.
And all the shoes when you walk in, I'm thinking about it now. There are, you know, winter boots there. There are gym shoes.
Right.
There are flip-flops from summer. I could use you.
Yeah.
I could hire you.
Well, I'm a quarter a week, Wendy. So
I can afford you.
If you can budget that, fine. But if not, you have to look elsewhere.
All right.
All right. We will take a short break, and then there's a lot more show ahead. So stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. thanks very much. Hi, everybody. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. In a little while, a mind reader will come in and read our minds.
I'm kind of excited for this.
Too.
No, you're not. Aren't
I've
you scared?
To have this. No, why would I be scared?
Do you have no concern, Wendy, that he's going to blurt out something you don't want blurted out?
I got to be honest with you, Steve. I'm pretty much an open book. I really don't hide too much, so really whatever I got jiggling around in there, you know, I'm okay with.
Yeah. Plus, he's not a hypnotist. Like, I'd be more afraid of you being hypnotized.
Which
than
I wasn't
being...
afraid of that either.
No. No.
I think it's
You're
cool.
Very brave.
You're courageous.
Or stupid. One of the two.
Either or. A texter said, this is, before we move on to our next topic, I just want to close off. I was saying that as a kid, there was a debate online about whether or not children should be paid an allowance to do chores around the house.
And should they do chores?
Right.
And
right.
I fessed up.
And you said?
My kids don't have chores. Mary Vandeveld agreed. Her kids didn't either. And this person disagrees. Can I read this?
Yeah, please.
Wendy, are your son's future wives going to do all the work? Teach them how to clean and take care of the house. They should learn you have to work to earn that money you just hand over.
What do you think?
I think there's some truth to that, but I've taught them. They know how, and when push comes to shove, they do.
Yeah.
And I mean, they will.
What's the greater skill, really? Learning how to dust or learning how to get out of it?
But guys know that if you want to get out of a job, do it poorly.
Well, right. I've just learned that you guys know that.
All guys know that.
Right.
It's the first thing we discuss at our guy meetings.
But then we learn as women, because I complain to Jim every time about loading the dishwasher. Like, glasses go on the top. Don't load it like this. So he's like, well, then I won't do it. And I'm like, fine. And then all of a sudden, I realized I lost that battle.
Oh.
So then I said, why don't you try the dishes again? And now I don't even look in there.
Right. Right.
And Jim didn't really do chores when he was growing up, like cleaning the house. He probably cut the grass and shoveled and stuff like that. But he sure helps with the housework.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you need to, you do
then
it.
You do it. Right.
Sure. You can load the dishwasher when you need him to.
I can load the dishwasher. It's the unloading that's hard for me. And here's why.
Oh,
I know where
God.
Plates go. They go in the plate part of the cupboard. And I know where silverware goes because it's... You know, in the drawer,
but
there's
the glasses
separate.
Throw you for a loop?
No, there's a lot
there's
of...
There's always little extra things, utensil things.
I don't know what
you
are. You
leave them on the counter
are.
For your wife to put away. That's what Jim does.
Now, so I'm a big guy in the kitchen all the time. I cooked dinner last night. I enjoyed. But I'm with you, Bill. There still are a couple things that come out. I'm like, I don't know where this goes.
I don't know what they are. I don't know where they go. They're like attachments to either a coffee maker or a tea machine or something. I don't know what it is. I don't use it. I just drink club soda.
Then
it's
you
easy.
Leave it, A, in the drain board like Jim does, or two, you just leave it on the counter. Like, I have a couple of glass casserole dishes that he, even though he sees me put them away, he does not know where they go. So he just leaves them on the counter for me. I put them away.
We always have, what are those things that you spread frosting with called? What is that called?
A spatula?
A spreader?
No, a spreader. Let's go with that. It's like a stick and it's got like a plastic part on it. And
it's a spatula.
Is that a spatula?
It's a spatula.
Yeah? All right.
He doubts me, Mary, but if you say it.
Well, to me, the spatula is the one that goes on the grill that has a different kind of handle and it's spatula shaped.
That's a flipper.
That's
not
a flipper. No, that's a spatula.
I guess.
That's a spatula. But
that's
there
a
is
true
a,
spatula.
But I know what you're talking about. It's like
a Tupperware
sort of,
thing.
Yeah. Yes. All right. So that's in our dishwasher all the time, which is mysterious because my wife doesn't cook stuff. She doesn't bake. But I don't
Your
know what.
Your daughter does.
She does from time to time. But that's in the dishwasher every day, Wendy. And I don't know how it got there. I don't know if somebody's breaking in and making oatmeal cookies and leaving because it's in there every day. And I have no idea where it goes. So I just put it where I think it'll go. And then it's, you know, it's done magically in the dishwasher the next day.
Another game of who hid the spatula.
Yes.
Does she make smoothies?
Yes.
She uses it to scrape out the smoothie.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh.
I can never pull the wool over your eyes. You know
that? I never would have thought that.
Yeah, because to clean out the bottom of the blender, you got to stick something in there. And the spatula, the rubber spatula, silicone one, works very well.
It's like being on a Columbo episode. That was amazing. I would not, I'm serious. If I was here for 100 hours in a row, that would not have come to me. I just never would have guessed that. Wow. Well played.
All right. Because I use it for a food processor to get, you know, chopped veggies out of there. So,
but there's other things in there that I don't know what they are. I don't know where they go.
A whisk?
And then, yeah, sometimes there's a whisk in there. Sometimes. I do know what that is. But, and then we have the conversation, why don't you just put these things away? And I don't know where they go.
In our house, the strainer has moved.
What?
So, you know, I was like straining.
Yeah.
Oh, so it wasn't where you went to grab it?
Right.
Like, yeah. So, oh, I hate that.
It's everything like, should be in its place.
Well, it's
in a better place now.
Did you throw it away?
No. It was always getting caught, you know, when you pulled it out.
Oh, yeah.
So Sharon moved it. And I was like, have we moved the strainer?
Yeah.
And I like where it is now.
My husband has taken over my kitchen completely.
Because why?
Because he cooks now all the time because he's retired.
Oh.
So he does all the cooking. It's great. But then he puts everything away in different places that I never, you know, like my wooden spoon. I'm like, where the heck is my favorite wooden spoon? He's putting it in the utensil jar
kind
of thing. And I don't like it in there. I like it in my drawer. So
do you use it now or does he
all
use
the time?
Or does he use it?
Well, I still bake. So I bake a lot. So I, you know.
Isn't it funny what couples like get irritated about though? Seriously.
My favorite wooden spoon.
I don't drink coffee, right? My wife does and both of my daughters do. And we have coffee cups in three different places and a lot of coffee cups. There's only three of them, but we must have 20 coffee cups.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, like if I'm unloading, I'll put some, like we have this wooden coffee cup rack.
There's
Yeah, it's like a tree. Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
A mug tree.
So I'll put some on there.
You're
and my wife
adorable.
Will go, you know, the coffee cups with our initials don't go on that. They go in the.
How are you supposed to know?
I don't know that. There's no way for me to know that. But she assumes because I'm doing this on an almost everyday basis, you should remember. But there's no rhyme or reason to it.
I have stopped using coffee mugs. I now use the to-go cups that come with a lid.
The styrofoam ones?
I think they're paper. Dixie makes them, and it's a hot, cold thing.
Yeah. For around your house?
Yeah, because then, you know, I don't have to worry about spilling. If I want to run out shopping with my coffee,
you have
so
it ready.
I use them all the time now.
Yeah.
I don't even use coffee mugs.
Yeah. See, one of the favorite parts of my car are those little stains where the coffee sloshes.
Oh, I hate that.
It's around the dashboard and stuff.
They're like badges of honor.
And then it collects other dust, starts to grow.
Plant life starts to form.
Exactly. Pretty soon you got to buy a combine.
I got a coffee plant. I created my own coffee plant right there in the car. It's a miracle. All right, we'll take a break, and then there's more shows, so stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. I love Metallica.
They should cover this. That would make me want to clean more. All right, we were talking about chores. I'm getting terrible texts from people that...
Why?
Wendy, I don't say this to be mean. Your boys need chores. They need to learn household tasks, maintenance, etc. Build self-esteem. This one, I would like to question you and Bertrand about.
Sure.
From a different person. Everyone should learn to do everything. My kids left the house knowing how to cook, clean, change a tire, jump a car, change an outlet.
Hmm.
I didn't learn that before I moved out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
I learned that later.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't learn how to change an outlet.
That's easy.
Well, but
I don't know what that means.
We're in a high school.
An electrical outlet.
But why change would a high schooler need to learn how to change an outlet?
Well, this parent is obviously a fantastic parent. If you can teach your kids. I taught Michael, the oldest, how to sew on a button. Dylan, I haven't shown that to yet. I think that's a valuable skill.
Yes.
I told him how to order Uber Eats. showed him where...
These are skills for the 21st century.
But they know how to do things, take the garbage out when it's full.
Had to, like, build houses out of...
Feed a dog when, you know, it's time.
Wendy, you just said they know how to take the garbage out when it's full. That's not really a skill.
But I'm telling you, my husband did not do a lot of indoor chores when he was growing up, and he does more chores around the house than I do. I'm not going to have my kids rely on their wives for that. You learn when you share a household with someone, it's half and half.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes a fluctuating 80-20.
Mm-hmm. That would be a more accurate figure, I would believe.
70-30, maybe.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this is great if you teach them how to do all that before. Can you change? I can't change a car tire.
You know, that's so funny because I used to change car tires. I remember getting a flat along the interstate one time. I couldn't do it now.
Because why? What changed?
Well, the tires have changed. Yeah. I think they're a lot harder to get to and everything. But I just now I'm like,
AAA, baby.
There's a phone in your car. Right, you just call them and they come by and they do it.
That's exactly it. There's a phone in my car.
Right.
And this person, you know, how to do all these things. I know that my grandfather was very, very handy. So he taught my brother a lot of things. When my brother moved out, he taught me a lot of things. I will always try something first. And if not, I will call someone. Like my in-laws, Jim is not that handy because his dad wasn't that handy. If something was wrong, you call a plumber.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. Yes. It's just there are people who like to tinker and people who like to get the job done and pay for it.
Right, right. Last week on our dryer, you know, did you ever look at the back of your washer and dryer and there's stuff coming out of it and you go, I'm glad that's there. There's like a tube. There's like some sort of a hose tube thing.
How do you not know what that is?
I don't know what that is. But ours was cut.
Who cut it? Did you have a vandal?
Just like a slice?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
A little slice that opened up, thus making the dryer ineffective because that needs to be intact. So my wife called a couple places and they said, we can't even come to fix that because it's easy to fix, but it would cost you $150. We're not going to do it. Two different places said it. So she fixed it herself.
Well, you're just talking about the foil that goes, the venting out that goes out?
It's like,
it's like an octopus arm.
Yes.
Like an octopus arm. Or Lost in Space, the robot arm. That's a vent.
That's a step up of taking the garbage out when it's full.
That's a huge step up.
That goes outside.
Terry fixed that.
But your dryer would operate with that.
No, it wouldn't work properly for some reason. Everything came out extra hot and she was afraid there'd be a fire, so she fixed it herself.
That doesn't make sense.
That's amazing.
If your vent was leaking in your house, that shouldn't affect but that changed the dryer clothes.
It made everything come out hotter than it was supposed to be. I don't know why,
because it wasn't venting properly.
But she fixed it.
Just give it to him, Bertrand.
Did she go
to YouTube? Because that's what I YouTube stuff.
She did. That's how she figured out how to do it.
That's how you learn how to do it.
Right. Here's a very short text, Wendy. It just says rubber scrapper. I don't think name calling is going to solve anything.
No, they mean rubber scraper is what the thing
All right. That's better than
that. Then what I do is I call Lou. So if you want his number, I'll just
Lou to go.
Give that out.
Oh, those are two different Lou's. But
that's why they got so mad at me.
I've emailed Lou for certain things, too.
I thought I was calling Manfredini, and
you got a pizza?
Yeah, they sent a pizza over, and I go, this isn't going to fix the dryer.
Greg, what about chores?
Well, chores, I was going to say, first of all, good luck getting through to Lou. The line's always busy.
Oh, right. Thanks for that.
Then I was going to say, as far as chores go, I got an allowance when I was a kid, but I had to do chores as well. And I was told the chores were not related to the allowance.
I kind of was told that too, yeah.
Yeah.
You had to do chores when you were at the house because that's what you did. You got an allowance because you were a portion of the family and you needed some spending money of some sort. However, screw up and the allowance would be the first thing.
No more allowance, right.
And you still do the chores.
We like to call that walking around money. Right. We did. My mom always
bonus cash,
but she never let me walk around. So I don't know.
That's weird. Well, thanks.
Well, and as far as I was going to say, as far as doing chores as a boy and doing them poorly and saying that, you know, get out of here, that wasn't the case. That was do it over again until you got it done right. So you figured out you might as well do it right the first time.
I guess
that's saved for husbands only, though, not for kids. Kids have to learn, and practice makes perfect.
Well, I practice a lot because I got it wrong a lot.
Well, thank you for calling, Greg. We appreciate it.
So when I was getting a quarter a week, Wendy.
Could you preface that by saying I was three?
It started at three, and it went until I was like six or seven.
Yeah,
and
I
no
only
raises.
Got, I got 50 cents, and then I think 75 cents. I mean, that wasn't that much more.
I got $5 a week.
Wow.
But maybe I'm thinking junior high.
Oh, by then I was up to 50 cents a week. Because we picketed. My brother and I, we picketed. There was a giant rat in front of our house. Yeah. a rat wearing a baseball cap, so my parents didn't know it meant me. But I thought that was crazy good money, and now when I think about it, I was a quarter of the family. I know my dad was making more than a dollar a week at that point. He's probably making $5 or $10 a week. I was getting ripped off.
You picketed.
Yeah.
Put the inflatable rat in front of your own house.
We mean business.
All right. Well, you know what? Do what works in your house, but, you know, to each his own.
Right. Everyone gets two each. That seems fair.
I learned how to do everything when I was younger. I don't do that now.
Yeah.
I don't. Jim does it. Fluctuating 80-20.
Right, right.
All right, coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand. That's all happening in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here, 720 WGN.
Do you believe in magic?
Yes, Steve, I do.
Yes, Wendy does.
I'm excited.
And I do, too, to some extent, Wendy. Not a, you're a true believer.
I
you
am.
You believe in it all
the
way
everything.
Through. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and Wendy. Our guest is Mark Tolan, master mentalist, professional magician, performing at the Chicago Magic Lounge, located at 5050 North Clark in Chicago. Is it just Wednesday nights? Is that when you're there? How does your schedule work?
The Chicago Magic Lounge has programming all week long,
yeah,
7 days a week, but I'm there Wednesdays.
On Wednesdays.
The artist in residence for Wednesdays.
Very good. Very good.
You're a mind reader, huh?
I'm a mind reader. Yeah, now, so as a professional magician, I'm kind of like a psychological magician. You know, I do magic of the mind. Try
all right,
to guess
so,
what you're thinking.
Okay,
or
I know. I don't even like
mind.
To look you in the eye.
Yeah,
I'm really having trouble.
Thinking,
well,
right,
that's what I'm worried about.
Clean it up.
When I first met you and I said, hey, nice to meet you, like, what if I wasn't feeling that? And I was like, look at this guy. Would you pick
such
that up?
Such a jerk. Such a jerk.
Isn't it reading body language? I mean, is it magic?
A lot
or
goes
is
into it.
Psychic?
I've been fascinated with psychology from a young age. I was into Hardy Boys, Sherlock Holmes, you know, detective stuff. I was into psychological movies and then into magic. And I was always kind of drawn more to the psychological side of things. So it comes down to a combination of all those things, a little bit of, you know, just doing repetition. So I've done hundreds of shows in the past decade plus of being a full-time entertainer. And it's a lot of lying. To be honest, yeah.
It's a lot of lying.
Yeah.
Do you look at this as a gift, though? Is this a gift or is it not a gift?
No, it's a learned skill.
Is it
I don't.
Really?
Yeah. I don't believe in psychics. I've no. never. I've met a lot in this
yeah.
industry, and I've been confronted at the airport by people who. I gave a TEDx talk a few years ago about this, where a lady confronted me at the airport and told me all these things about me. She said she's clairvoyant. She guessed my wife's name and my birthday and my address and all these things. And then when I thought about it, I realized she had eavesdropped while I was at the rental car counter. And she was trying to swindle me on the spot. And the thing is, like, I'm not going to be eavesdropping on my audience, like, sitting out in disguise or something. That's not how I achieve what I do. But the point was, the TED Talk and everything I try to be as a psychological entertainer is that, you know, there's a line between honesty. I'm just there to entertain. I'm just there to give people a feeling of mystery, to get them to forget about their obligations and maybe a hard day they had or something, put a smile on their face, not to swindle money, not to, you know, claim supernatural abilities or something like that. So
right.
little distinction there. I, you know, maybe there, I would love to meet a real psychic. I haven't met one yet.
Yeah.
So it's a learned skill. I've been doing this for 3 decades now.
Whenever someone claims to have psychic abilities, people always say, well, why don't you win the lottery every day?
Of course.
And then
they
go, well, that's not the way my mind
it, right, or it doesn't work for myself. Right. I can only help others.
Right. It seems very
shifty.
Very, yeah,
it's shifty, Mark. I don't like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, right, right. That yep. seems, yeah, yep. that's a cop out to me.
All right. Well, magic is, all I can say, if I could choose one word about magic, amazing. Because it really does amaze us. Whether you can figure out the trick or not, you drop your jaw. I mean, really.
There are five rings and they're not linked, and then they are linked. That's magic.
Yeah, of course. That,
how do they do that?
Yeah, that's like complete opposite of what I do, but that's been around for centuries, you know?
Yeah.
Magic is one of the oldest performing arts. The thing I think that magic is so good at is that we live, I've really realized this in the past 2-3 years, is we live in such an age of connectivity with the internet where everyone has a phone, everyone has this, but we're not more connected. I mean, if anything, we're less connected. I people don't look up. I'm out about it. I see people on their phones at all times. So magic is a medium where there is no fourth wall. It's I kind of think you move the fourth wall behind the audience. So the audience is almost on stage with you.
Yes.
They're part of the show. They're right. The opening line to my show is that the audience is the cast. So it's what they bring to the table, their thoughts and their ideas. And I think that makes magic kind of communal. It's participatory. It's a universal language because everyone can kind of understand. I just went to Dubai and did a big corporate thing.
Oh.
And they loved it just like people up in Andersonville at the lounge love it.
Yeah.
And it's a fascinating way, I think, to connect with people in different form than, say, stand-up or improv, which are both amazing and I love, or a movie or something like that. Magic moves people in a different way. So, you know, I fell into it when I was young and stuck with it. And,
mm-hmm.
and now I... I like it for different reasons, but kind of
glad
old? I pushed
it. Did you have TV Magic cards like I did?
No,
everybody?
Marshall Brodeen, sadly.
Yes,
lost
I
him
know.
Recently. No, I got started when I was 3 years old. I'm from a small town in Kansas. And
nothing else to do there?
Yeah, exactly right. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Nothing. I have such a weird set of special skills at the bottom of my resume. I can ride a unicycle and pogo stick and juggle and yo-yo and all these crazy things. But that kept me out of trouble. It gave me something to do. I learned discipline from doing that. I learned, to get over public speaking fears and all those things. I learned to... I learned to be entertaining or to teach myself various things. I have three siblings, so it's kind of a crazy household growing up, and you learn, at least when I was growing up, you learn from books. So mm-hmm. I taught myself from the pages of books, which was a very important skill, and developed a love of reading and all these things. So I see a lot of the things in my life that I love, from movies to performing and comedy and all those things, influenced by that.
You mentioned, Mark, you just performed in Dubai. In different parts of the world, is magic perceived differently? Or is
it
kind of universal?
They kind of mentioned that they don't necessarily like magicians. They're kind of weirded out by that.
Yeah.
But since I'm a mind reader or a mentalist, they two kind of go hand in hand. I think they looked at it different. I got rushed after the show. It was a wildest thing. These men in the corporation wanted to take pictures and ask me questions, and we're so excited. It's a bunch of engineers, which is maybe my favorite thing to do, is just fry a room full of analytical thinkers.
Right, because this is their escape. I mean, belief, you can suspend life, too. This is just you're erasing everything else and just jumping into this.
Right. I kind of think magic's fascinating because the smarter the audience member, in many ways, the more amazing it is when they're fooled, because you're almost using everything they've learned against them. You know, they've learned all these things up to a point, but I've been learning things along the same way to go a different direction, you know? So the things they have studied, the things they've picked up on are opposite of mine, and I kind of pit that against them my advantage, you know?
When we come back, you have set something up.
I would love to,
Wendy and I to do
think,
something.
I had Wendy think of a name and you to think of a place, and I'll do my best to work this out, and we can try some other experiments too. I brought some ideas to
good. I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, please.
Real quickly, before we go to break, what do you make of the guys? There are some guys who are magicians, but what their job is to dispel magic. Amazing Randy. James Randi is the first guy who comes to mind, although there's others who do this. What do you make of those guys who say, I know a magician's not supposed to tell their secrets, but I'm going to tell some secrets?
Well, I'm a very skeptical person. Yeah. Much like that lady in the airport, I don't think someone should be going out and using, the techniques of illusion or magic or things like that for nefarious purposes. I don't think you should be swindling people out of their money or taking advantage of someone who had a loved one pass or is in a depressed or anxious state and using these things to con them or something. So I think what Randy does is amazing. The documentary, I'm sure you've probably seen it, or any number of YouTube videos are amazing. What he's done is great. It's influenced me heavily. He's a fascinating person. I'm not quite into the debunking. I'm just an entertainer. I don't do that, but I am a skeptic. I am constantly battling within myself to be an honest liar, much like he is, you know? That's the name of his documentary, so I can't claim that as my own, but I think that is something that I deal with, because people come up to me and are convinced I'm real, and I say, no, it's just entertainment.
I'm an honest liar. Magicians and politicians are the two professions that can claim that, aren't they?
Yeah, I'm not sure I want to be equated with the latter, but yes.
All right, we'll pick this up in just a little bit. Mark Toland is our guest. We're at 312-981-7200 if you want to chime in. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Mark Toland is a master mentalist performing at the Chicago Magic Lounge at 5050 North Clark on Wednesday evenings. He's here to read Wendy's mind and my mind, and he will go home very unsatisfied.
I'm not in the habit of making predictions, but you mentioned the election. I predict fewer postcards in our mailboxes on Wednesday.
Prediction.
Oh, yes. That's good.
I wonder if that'll happen. We'll find out.
No wonder you're award-winning.
I know. Crazy. How does he do it?
All right. You came in. We met you. You had this little memo book, and you said...
Yeah, so I just gave you a piece of paper to write down because I want you to commit to one thing, and I wish the listeners could have seen Wendy, because she flummoxed, probably thought of a million things before she settled on one, and has even been thinking about changing her mind, so I don't know if she changed
her mind. Just a moment ago, she said,
okay.
Can I change it?
And then I had, so Wendy thought of a name, and then I had Bill think of a location. I'm going to do my best to work this out, and usually I only get one of the two, so let's not get our hopes up.
All right.
I'll do my best. But I guess we should confirm for listeners. I just met you right before we went on air, like a correct. Minute, right? We've never spoken or met
nope.
before.
Okay. Nope.
So, Wendy, where are you from originally then?
Brookfield, Illinois.
Brookfield. Okay, so you're from the area. You've been here most
my
of your
whole
life. Okay. And Bill?
Chicago.
Okay, mm-hmm. great. What's a hobby outside of this? Wendy, what do you do?
Gardening.
Gardening. Oh, outdoors. Okay. Ooh. Aquarius?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. What about you, Bill?
For hobby?
A hobby, yes.
Tennis player.
Oh, but athletic, more fitness related than... Are you a reader or movie watcher?
Both.
You're on the cusp somewhere. You're between.
Oh, thank you.
Yes? Yes?
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. I don't know which two. Yeah. You're on the cusp.
Yeah. Between...
Probably in the fall or something.
You're talking
for your
about
sign.
For my
your sign?
Sign,
yes.
What's your sign?
What are you?
You are correct. Do you want me to say what?
Yeah,
it
you
is?
Can tell me. You're on the cusp, though.
I'm Scorpio. Did I get it right?
Scorpio or Sagittarius? Somewhere in there.
Scorpio.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but
when
yeah,
is your birthday? When is your birthday?
The 21st. So yeah,
of November.
November.
Yeah. Oh, so you're on yes. the cusp. Okay, that's between the two. Okay, so might be easier. Cusp is a little difficult, so it might be easier. Wendy, I'll try this with you. You're thinking of a person.
Yeah.
If you tell me how you are related to this person, I'll try to guess the name.
Well, we're not related.
Yeah, so how do you know this person?
From a school.
From a school. Okay, so are we very young?
Nope.
Very young. Okay, more recent. Okay, so picture this name like you were going to tell it to me. Don't actually move your mouth or wiggle your fingers.
All right.
Just imagine saying the name to me. This is a lady, I would say
yes.
right away. Yes. And it's a shorter name, 4 or 5 letters, I want to
yes.
say. Yes. Yes, okay. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Okay, this would be... And it's a full name, so what I mean by that is not a nickname,
right.
not an abbreviated version. It's a full name. 5 letters. Yes?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm just getting
this
nervous.
Is, yeah, yeah, this is good. That's
vowel.
That's a good reaction. That's what we're going for. Susan?
I'm going to throw up.
Yes, is that right? Show me.
Wow.
Yes, show me.
Can I just tell you the weirdest, what does that say?
It says Susan.
Susan, yes, very good.
Do you want to know who this is? Because this is like, you said think of anybody. I went to Illinois State and made it till Christmas, and she was my first and only college roommate. So
that's
I tried
impressive.
To go like
go.
Way out
wow,
there.
Yeah. You did a deep dive.
I did.
Wow.
Wow.
Throwback.
I have the hair on the back of my neck standing up.
That's good. you nailed it.
That's
you
good.
Got it.
That's
that
good.
Is
the way
wild.
To go. Wow.
Let's flip yours a little bit, and
right.
I'll try something different with you. And
all
I wondered right. if I had to do this. I'm going to set, while I do this, I don't want you to see this. But
all right. I'm not looking.
I had you come up with a city. Would you tell me the city?
Yeah, it'll be easier to guess once I tell you. So.
No, but trust me. Tell me the city.
Dayton, Ohio.
Dayton, Ohio. You've been to Dayton.
I have been.
Think about the last time you went there.
Okay.
And can you picture something you did while you were there?
Yes.
Okay. Would you imagine the time of day that you did this thing? So, interesting time of days growing up for me would be like 3:30, I got out of school. 5:30, my dad came home. I was
okay.
born at like 8:45 in the morning. Those are times. So, you might not know the exact time, but give it a time.
Okay.
Hours and minutes.
Should I tell you?
Sure. What was it?
Just a little after 1 o'clock.
In the afternoon,
yes.
I'm assuming.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I set this, and I'm not sure exactly if you want to convey this to listeners, but this is what I set it to, hoping that
looks,
you would say.
It looks like you have
o'clock.
Set it to exactly 1 o'clock.
This is freaky.
Yeah.
That's
so that's
o'clock.
What I was hoping for. So that's kind of a time attribute. So tell me, what was the activity you were doing in Dayton then? What was that?
We were my daughter was going to college there, and we were saying goodbye to her.
So
and
you're
we
dropping her off
lunch.
At the dorm
yeah.
or something like that?
Yes.
Amazing. So there.
Yes.
Can I tell you something really weird? We both went college. I went when I went away to school for the first time, and
yeah.
you had when your daughter went away to school for the first
right.
time. What does that mean?
Do you know what's crazy, Wendy? We have Susan here today.
Susan's
bring her
here.
In.
Bring Susan in.
No, she didn't.
That would freak me out. That I think I would. That I can't
well,
even imagine.
Well, you've obviously made a pact with the devil.
I have.
There's no other explanation.
Yes,
you've
exactly.
obviously made a pact with Satan. Wow.
I am just 100% blown
good.
Away.
That's pretty good. That's great. That's what the show is like. Is you know, as I say in the show, it's a weird thing to see a mind ring show. So I have to explain to them. We pick people at random. those people think of things.
Yes.
And I try to guess them. That is all the show is. And I have to pick people at random because I have people come up to me after the show convinced they're the only real person in the audience and everyone else is in on it.
Right.
So I have to do that. It's a weird thing to be a mind reader and have all these things I have to do just to keep it fair, to make sure people think I'm fair.
Have there been new innovations in the art of mind reading over the last couple of decades, or has it remained pretty much the way it's always been?
You're asking too many questions.
Sorry. I'm curious. I'm of a curious nature.
No, people are always innovating in the art form, but it's an underground community, you know? So what I am studying, what I am reading and learning and watching is never publicized. It's not public knowledge at all. Mm-hmm. But yeah, people are always pushing the envelope and figuring things out. And, you know, I think for a long time there was a saying that magic is indistinguishable from sufficiently advanced technology, yeah. I think was a saying. And I think magic and technology have pushed each other a lot. But lately, technology is skyrocketing forward, and there's a lot of ground that magic might have to catch up, and then vice versa. It's weird because you can't I can't reveal how those things work, and then we know the other things that, you know, Apple or Google or Samsung are putting out and doing. You know, so it's a weird thing to even broach that topic because I can't get into it. But yeah, there's conventions around the world, you know, happening every month. There are people who travel and teach. There are books written about this. So it's a whole wild world once you get into it.
Are some people, like, was I easier to read than Bill?
I don't think people are easier to read. I just think people think in different ways, right?
Yeah.
So some people think in pictures. Some people think in words. Some people, hear colors. There's that whole thing. You know, they just really process information differently. So I don't think people are necessarily easier or hard. It's more about catering what I do to the individual so I can get a good response and figure it out and go from there.
When you said that there are people out there that take advantage of people because they've had loved ones die,
sure.
I'm assuming you're talking about John Edwards or people like John Edwards, right?
Of course.
All right. So what do you make of guys like that who are just, they're trying their best to make people believe that he's got some kind of special ability when in reality he does not?
I think it's dirty. I think
it is, right?
Yeah, I think it's filthy. They're swindling people out of money.
Yep. Yeah.
They're cheaters. And they're doing what I do. Yes, of course. They're doing what I do, but to make a buck at someone's emotional expense.
Yeah.
That's just, that rubs me the wrong
dirty way.
Yeah. John Oliver on Last Week Tonight on HBO did a great segment about a month ago on psychic industry. It's a teardown of the whole thing and how it is, you know, there are, what did he say, a third of the population in America believes in ghosts and psychics and these things, and it is a billion-dollar industry. It's a huge industry, and people turn there in a time of distress and need, and these people step up to take advantage.
Yeah.
I'm really just a mystery artist is how I look at it. I think mystery is a fleeting feeling. We're so connected. We have all the information on our phone. We can get any question answered at moment's notice. There's no mystery in the world anymore, so I get to give audiences a mystery. I do more than just Wednesdays. I work, you know, all week long, but every show I do, including the one at the lounge, the goal is not to convince people I'm real. It's to give people a feeling of mystery. Not knowing is a great feeling, and we don't get to have that with all this technology now.
Yeah.
And, you know, for all the benefits of technology, it's nice every once in a while to put your phone away, see, you know, live entertainment, human connection, and also just have that feeling of, I guess I've got to be okay with a mystery
right,
for once.
Right.
I have got to go to the Chicago Magic Lounge, 5050 North Clark Street, to go see Mark Toland. You're all over the place performing, but you're at the Chicago Magic Lounge every Wednesday?
Every Wednesday.
Until when? Forever?
It's going to be for 3 months. So okay. April, May, June. We may pick it up again, but what they're doing are they're doing 3 months of artists in residence. So mine starts this week, and then I'm sure, you know, you'll have another artist on later this year to talk about other upcoming performances.
So cool.
But yeah, excellent. Come see some mind reading on Wednesdays.
Great to meet you.
You
thanks
too
for coming by.
Thank
it's Mark
so
Toland,
much
everybody. And again, he's performing at the Chicago Magic Lounge on Clark every Wednesday for the next few months, next 3 months. We'll take a break. We'll get you some news and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Zorn, 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 the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
Eric Zorn is here. You know him from the Chicago Tribune, where he's been a fine columnist for how many years?
I've been a columnist for more than like 31 years.
Wow.
That has been a long time.
Impressive.
I still have things to say, however.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
You're not out of
because
stuff
the
to
news
say.
Keeps providing.
Well, today, for instance, you come in and you tell Wendy and myself that this actor, Jussie Smollett.
Yeah, I've got a whole
from The Empire Show.
I know.
Is in trouble. What happened?
Well, I'll tell you about it. But first of all, I want to read, you know, it's the first Monday of the month. Mm-hmm. And the first Monday of the month, I always read the top 10 tweets of the last month. Mm-hmm. So you should take care of those before
let's
we
get, that
before
out
we get into this. This is, you want me to look him up on the web to see more about this guy.
All right.
Jussie Smollett, anyway.
All right.
Not many people have heard of him. But
no.
Jussie or Jesse?
It's Jussie with okay. a U. So anyway, the top 10 tweets, and this is in no particular order. Number one, my friends asked me to go camping, so I made a list of things I will need. Number one. New friends.
I love that one.
Judging from his tears, lies, and emotional outbursts as he's calmly questioned about sexual assault allegations against him, R. Kelly is definitely going to get confirmed to the Supreme Court. I'd be fine with
I feel guilty laughing at that
okay,
one.
Okay,
I think it's funny, but I feel guilty I feel laughing at that.
All right, well, just noted then.
All right.
I'd be fine with a ghost in the house if each time a message in blood appeared on a wall, it was something helpful like, you're overcooking the salmon. And I just want to say that the attributions for these, they're online, and they'll be linked from the Bill and Wendy Facebook page on my Facebook page.
That
and
seems
on
right.
ChicagoTribune.com and all that. It ruins my timing,
yes.
which is what this little
do
interjection
the,
is doing
right,
here.
Right, right, right.
Whoever invented the toilet brush has a sick sense of humor. I'm sticking to toilet paper from now on.
Oh, my God.
A friend wanted to know what it's like to be a mom, so I busted down her bathroom door while she was taking a shower to tell her that I'm thinking about changing the name of one of my stuffed animals.
That's funny.
High school isn't, quote, the best years of your life. It's Lord of the Flies with tater tots.
That's a good one.
Even if there was a vaccination against stupidity, it would be worthless because the people who needed it most would think it caused autism.
Very funny. Yeah.
Bernie Sanders is like the ex you let down too easy, and now you've got to go through it all over again. Being a grandfather is tough. Some baby mispronounces a word and suddenly your name is Peepo for the last 30 years of your life. And the last one is, my urologist said I have a healthy prostate. I was deeply touched.
Oh, good golly. These are good ones.
Those are good ones. It was a good month. It was a good month. Anyway, so this Jussie Smollett
yes.
guy, anyway, but an actor on Fox's Empire.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, everyone knows that story. You guys have been probably talking about it all week. Every radio show in town's been talking about it.
For 2 months.
Because
every time we think we know what's going on, we don't know what's going on.
It's been this phenomenal thing. The absolute latest turn of the screw that I know of is that retired Illinois Appellate Court Justice Sheila O'Brien has an op-ed in the Tribune online right now. It's going to be in the paper tomorrow, when she calls for a special prosecutor to be appointed to look into how Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox has handled this case. You know, the way her office, you know, kind of, she had to, you know, step back. She said she recused herself. She didn't actually recuse herself. And then her prosecutor suddenly last Tuesday, without any warning to anybody, just dropped the charges on mm-hmm. him and said, okay, we'll take your bond money and you're free to go.
And she said she found out just minutes before we found out, because I heard her talking to John Williams
yes.
and Steve Bertrand. I don't know that I believe that.
No, I don't sure I believe that either. If she needed to at least keep her eye on it. And the thing is, what this office didn't do was keep their eye on the fact that this is a high profile case. Yes, in some ways it's a petty little crime, this allegation against him that he faked a police report, and this happens occasionally that they have these crimes where people will, for one reason or another, will make up a police report, maybe to give themselves an alibi for something, or you know, to try to blackmail somebody else or something.
Right.
This is not a huge, it's a class 4 felony. There's almost no jail time ever in something like this. And her office is dealing with, you know, a city with, you know, 500 murders a year. And so, I mean, the county with us, all kinds of crimes. The many worse crimes happen every day. So they often dispose of these lower level crimes. But the way they almost always do it is they say, okay, look, plead guilty and keep your nose clean, and we'll put you on like 6 months probation, whatever, and then after that, we'll erase everything and mm-hmm. you're free to go. But what happened here is, rather quickly after he was indicted by a grand jury, suddenly there's this announcement that they have this quote-unquote emergency court session. And our report, Megan Crapo over at the courthouse, nobody told her about it except for the publicist for Smollett today, where there's something going on in court. people thought that it might have something to do with cameras in the court or something. It was just sort of a routine thing. Well, all of a sudden, everyone is just completely blindsided by this, most notably Mayor Emanuel and Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson. So you've got the situation where this case is handled in an extraordinary fashion, and it was an extraordinary crime. And this is what the point that I wanted to make, I did make in my column last week, which is like, yeah, it was a small time crime, but because of Smollett's celebrity and the sensational nature of the allegation against him, something happened in Streeterville allegedly with guys saying that this is MAGA country, you know, Trump slogan, who put a noose on him and poured bleach on him. I mean, this is a pretty horrifying allegation, and it received national attention.
Well, he went on Good Morning America. That's what pushed it over. You know what I mean?
People were talking about it everywhere, and this was a big deal. And so the police put a lot of effort into figuring out what happened, because it gave the city a black eye. And people are saying, well, how can you give a city a black eye when there are 500 murders in it? But this is a big crime, and this happens in cases where you have like a really high profile case, and people look to that to see how is justice administered. Is it done fairly? Is it done quickly? Is it done transparently? All that other stuff. In this case, it was not. And so you say, well, what's the difference? It's this crime. But Kim Fox is under an obligation. Her office is under an obligation to give people confidence in this justice system, and she failed on that spectacularly here. And then she's been digging herself in a little deeper, because what happened was after this case, if you remember, they came out and said, "Well, we still think he's guilty. We didn't make him plead guilty, but we still think he did this."
Right.
And he's down in the lobby of the courthouse saying, "I've always been honest. I swear to my mother that I've always done this." And so people are outraged that he's done this. And then Kim Fox sends to the Tribune, again, an op-ed late Friday, early Friday evening, actually, saying, well, let's talk about this case. And she, in this op-ed, starts saying, well, the evidence wasn't there to make us certain we could get a conviction, which is a really interesting contention that she's making, which is suddenly it's not, well, we know he's guilty and the indictment was good, but maybe something is fishy about the case. My contention is, if she'd come out and said on Tuesday, or for prosecutors, and said, look, the two brothers, and the allegation is that Smollett conspired with these two brothers who he knew who were trainers and bodybuilders to give him a light beating. And if the testimony of those brothers had fallen apart, some reason they felt like they couldn't put those witnesses on, people would understand that. They might be frustrated by it, but they would say, look, this is the job of a state's attorney, which is to bring cases to court that they believe are prove guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. That's their job. And if they step back, you want prosecutors to do that. We want prosecutors to say, like, you know, we're not sure about this case. We're not going to ask a jury to convict. That's what you want out of a prosecutor. If she had said that on Tuesday, then I think we all said, okay, well, they didn't have the case they thought they had. But all the indications they gave were that they thought they had that case.
Right.
And they got behind the story, and they've been behind it ever since. And the mail that I got, I wrote a piece on Friday saying that this is probably going to end Kim Fox's political career. She's got to run for re-election. The key election is a year from March, you know, 11 months from now or so, a little bit more than 11 months. It's the Democratic primary for Cook County State's Attorney. It's very rare that we elect a Republican. We did Jack O'Malley back, if you remember, in the 90s. Mm-hmm. But it's almost always a Democratic office, Democratic County. So that's the big election. So she's going to face that in 11 months. I don't think this story is going away. I don't think the concern and anger people have. I heard from a lot of people saying, I voted for her last time. I like what she's doing. I liked what she was doing, but she's lost me on this. Totally lost me on this. And I think that one other thing that she's done here is one of the initiatives that Kim Fox has taken is that she has done this with low-level prosecution. She has helped lower the population at the county jail by keeping people out who are these low-level offenders. And I think that that's a really smart thing to do on her part, that when you have people who are, you know, caught selling weed or whatever, you don't want to fill your jail with people like that. And you also don't want to take people who make a mistake and ruin their lives over it. You don't want to say, you've got a felony record now for the rest of you. If you've got a felony record, it can hang around you when you apply for a job forever. And so the idea that she is doing this kind of compassionate, smart justice is good. And it was something that she had promised to do, something she was doing. But now she's cast this really unfortunate light on this whole idea by handling this case in this way. And yeah. I don't know that voters are going to forgive her for that. And we'll see if somebody, you know, comes forward to challenge her. I think that they probably will.
Why aren't we hearing from when John Williams and had her on and Steve Bertrand was talking to her and she mentioned her first deputy and she stands by his decision? Mm, why isn't he doing interviews?
He did. He did the first day, and then he has apparently declined comment since then. So I don't know whether what was going on there, whether she sent him out. But the thing that's so interesting about this is, first of all, it froze the mayor's race. Remember, we're having a mayor's election tomorrow.
You're right.
It was a week ago, and there was a big poll had come out talking about how Lori Lightfoot had a huge advantage, and there's a story that Tony Preckwinkle had gone off the air, and Preckwinkle's people were pushing the story about a house fire, and everybody suddenly was consumed with this Jesse Smollett story, and it just pushed the mayor's race off the headlines, off the radio talk show. Seriously,
yeah.
We had our Mincing Rascals podcast. We went on and on about this, and then, oh yeah, it was a mayor's race, and I saw this at Chicago Week in Review and other places that do these news roundups.
Yeah.
That's where the story went.
Right.
And it's sort of, no one's paying attention, so there was very little opportunity for Toni Preckwinkle to get the kind of traction. She's going to need a lot of traction. She's going to win tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But it sort of froze that race, too. And, of course, the irony of that is that Kim Fox, the state's attorney, is a protege of Toni Preckwinkle. She's a former chief of staff for Toni Preckwinkle. Preckwinkle, in effect, put her into that office.
Yeah.
So this redounds poorly on Preckwinkle, too. So
wow.
Fascinating week in the news.
All right, more with Eric Zorn in just a little bit.
Why are you looking at me when you said...
I'm not.
All right, Eric Zorn is here from the Chicago Tribune. A few minutes left here, Eric. What do you want to talk about?
let's talk a little bit about the mayor's race tomorrow.
Oh, that's happening?
It's tomorrow now?
It is tomorrow.
How did that happen?
I voted early.
Did you?
Because I am that way. And it takes like... Well, you guys are suburbanized.
Yeah.
If you live in the city and you're tempted to vote, you're thinking, I don't have time for it. It takes like 30 seconds, literally, from the time you pick up the stylus to the time you put it down. Because
mm-hmm.
there's at most three races.
Mm-hmm.
We have an aldermanic race in our ward. We have the treasurer's race and the mayor's race. That's it. And if you know who you're voting for, you just get in and go boom, 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 and you're out. And there are very few lines because turnout's going to be kind of light, unfortunately. But again, we were talking before the break. I believe that this Jesse Smollett story has just sapped the energy and focus off of this election to the point that...
Low turnout because of this somehow?
I don't know about low turnout, but I think it froze the dynamic of the race in place a week ago. And there were a bunch of debates last week. There was one, I think it was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. There were debates, broadcast debates that were held. And I watched them all. And so other people didn't have to, basically. and there, you know, there was some good stuff, some good exchanges going on. But I just feel like the public had made up its mind or had thought about this. But then the Jesse Smollett story has just dominated so many conversations.
Are the candidates using this story as a way of saying, if and when I'm mayor, this is the way I would handle it? Are they doing that at all?
They didn't, though. That's the thing. When it came up, they were both in the, well, there are still a lot of questions.
Right.
We don't know. We'd like to know more. And I think, and that was... obviously the thing to say, because you don't know, and there are a lot of questions. I would like to see, it's every conversation about everything goes back to Jesse Smollett, but I would like to see the evidence. I would like to see the court file on this. I would like to see what went on here. Why is there something in this evidence that makes us less persuaded that Jesse Smollett made this
up? That's the biggest question. We don't have we have less than a minute, but
yeah.
As citizens of a city or of a country, don't we have the right to know what's in the Mueller report? Don't we have the right to know what's in...
It was interesting, wasn't it, last week? Trump declares he's exonerated.
Yeah, even though it says he's not.
Declares they're exonerated, and they're both based on things that we don't know. And yes, we do have a right to know that. And I hope that the Democrats in Congress demand that we get the release of that entire Mueller report and that we get to see it. And I hope that... This suit by the retired Illinois appellate court justice or somebody manages to force this information out, so we will know more about what happened.
I hope so.
And that's.
I don't think we will.
I don't know.
That's Eric Zorn, everybody. Read him in the Chicago Tribune. You'll like what you read. Thank you, Eric.
Good
appreciate
to see
it. We'll find out what Steve has coming up in a little bit.
And the stories that matter with Don Kleppen from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.